I guess this is it.
Okay.
this is the very cold open. It's so cold. Have you guys updated to the new iOS? So you have like the new emojis and stuff?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's start the show. Okay.
And welcome to another episode of the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Dylan, a review just came in this week. It says we're the most entertaining fantasy hockey podcast in North America.
That's amazing. Who said that?
I think it was our guest, Derek Suchan. Is that right?
That sounds like something I would say.
Hello, Derek. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Doing better than Ilya Kovalchuk, I can tell you that much.
Oh my god. Well, I mean, we've kind of treated Derek like Elias. That's not his first name. I've got a case of the Pettersons. Ilya Kovalchuk, we've been treating Derek kind of like Ilya Kovalchuk. We've been sitting him, and he hasn't been on the podcast in who knows how long has it been, Derek? Since the beginning of the season.
Technically, I was on the secret bonus episode.
The secret bonus.
It was my first appearance on a real episode.
Okay.
Welcome back, Derek.
For those of
you who don't know, Derek is the reigning champion of our fantasy hockey league. And I just need to ask you, Derek, how come nobody came up with Derek Suchamp until I did? At the beginning of the season, how did we miss that?
I honestly don't know. I was just distracted by Sexy Gretzky and the entire I spent like maybe an hour just staring at the thing
and buffing it with a soft rag.
Oh yeah, it's still sitting as my centerpiece, by the way.
On like your dining room table?
Oh, my island in my kitchen. So, yeah. Oh, okay. So every time I walk in, I walk up the stairs and I see Sexy Gretzky is the first thing I see when I walk in my house.
Yes. Well, Derek joins us. So just for anyone who's joining us for the first time, we are a fantasy hockey podcast, and I use that term very loosely. But we bring you through the week in hockey, and sometimes we talk to some of our friends from other hockey podcasts, like Derek last week from Section 328. Sometimes we just talk amongst ourselves with myself and Dylan. And sometimes we have our other friend, also named Derek, come on along with some of our friends from our league. And we give, you know, some mostly hockey related advice, sometimes other types of advice.
Have we ever given like life advice?
I believe on one of our episodes last year, we gave relationship advice.
Oh, yeah, well, it worked for you, didn't it? Hey, really? Hi, Brittany.
Oh my gosh. But here we are. We're going to talk about the week in hockey, and I guess since we already kind of mentioned it, guys, Ilya Kovalchuk this year. Ilya Kovalchuk, of course, signed a big 3-year deal with the Los Angeles Kings. Kovalchuk, who came over from after spending the last 5 years in the KHL, and could choose any of the teams in NHL and decided to choose the LA Kings for some reason. And started the season off really hot. 14 points in 14 games. I owned him in our league. And then, what happened, guys?
Well, quick cut.
Willie Desjardins?
And then, well, yep, that happened. A lot of things happened.
Right.
Now, yeah, Quick got injured, which sucked. Yeah. As a Jonathan Quick
owner. Jack
owner.
Campbell got injured.
Yeah, their backup got injured. And now they're playing Calvin Peterson.
They're playing their off-brand Peterson.
Right? And he was incredible. He's the other night.
The Mr. Pibb of Petersons,
yeah.
Right?
Actually, yeah. Really good this year, except like even a game against us, he gave up, not the last game, but the game before they lost, it was like 2 goals he gave up, 2 or 3. But yeah, he's been really good this year.
He's been good. He kind of plays like Jonathan Quick, too. He's that like floppy, I have no joints in my body type goalie. Which is super entertaining to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, and us being Canucks fans, we all have some funny, funny recollections of the Willie Desjardins era, whether that be the Lyndon Vey trade, the Lyndon Vey insistence that he should be playing point on the first power play, the insistence that he should play on the Sedin wings.
Jason Magna,
Thomas Chaput. And of course, we were like, oh. And then all of a sudden, as Canadians as well, we remember him coaching the Canadian team this year. And then all of a sudden, just not, and then not being able to adjust. And
Lyndon Vey came back.
And when Lyndon Vey came back. but guys, what do you think the move is here? Like, do you guys have any Willie Desjardins advice for Kings fans? How do Kings fans stay, you know, hopeful in a time like this where it's seemingly their team's imploding?
I mean, their contract situation is so bad going forward. They have, like, Drouty's contract hasn't even started yet. That's starting next year, is it not?
The one he negotiated himself, yep.
Yeah, they're going to lose like $20 million.
What did that look like?
Yep.
But think about all the things he think about all the fees he saved in agent fees. And then also, I don't know if he switched his car insurance to Geico and further saved some more money. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But
it's
yeah,
incredible. I just imagine Doughty like sitting in a room with a bunch of like lawyers. I guess they're not lawyers, just the LA King brass in front of him. And they're writing down things on paper and sliding it across the table to him. And he's reading it, crumpling it up, and then throwing it at him and going, higher. Another piece, crumple it up, throw it back at him. More years. An even number. No decimal points. He just like kept on yelling weird demands at them.
The Los Angeles Kings, of course, they have projected to have the fifth least amount of cap space. They do have quite a few contracts kind of expiring the next little bit. But they're big ticket items. You know, Jeff Carter, $5 million. Dustin Brown at $5.8 million. Kopitar at $10 million. Then you have Kolchuk sitting at $6.25 million, which is would probably make him the most expensive fourth liner in the league.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
Wait till Milan Oh, is he making more than Milan Lucic?
What does he make?
I think six even, actually.
Yeah, it's around. I was looking at that because I was trying to think how I could fix the Edmonton Oilers. But yeah, and you have Jonathan Quick at 5'8", who, you know, we don't know if his best years are behind him. But I don't know. It kind of seems like they're going to do a rebuild. But guys, should they look at trading Kovalchuk, or do you think you could even get anything for him? He has an NMC the next 2 years.
What's his NMC? Is it like a restricted team thing? Just like
I think it's
Scott Darling?
It's a 17 trade list. It's a 17 trade list. So it's the exact same as Scott Darling's.
Okay.
Why does Scott Darling have an NMC?
Who knows?
They were trying to outbid someone else, I guess.
Derek from Carolina didn't even understand why.
We have no hope.
We have no hope. I don't know. Do they trade him? I mean, I feel like it's too early to look at like what they can do with this bunk contract. He was effective in the first bit of the year. I can't remember where I heard this. It was probably 31 Thoughts, but they were talking about players who you accept are going to show up and have a bad game, like 20% of the time, because the other 80% of the time they're going to be on fire. And another example was Alexei Kovalev, who was like, you're going to get 60 games out of me, right? And the rest of them, I'm just going to like float around.
But he'll be amazing those 60 games for sure.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, Kovalchuk's kind of always been that type of player. He's never been like a like every single game he's going to do something amazing, right? So maybe this is just the lull. Maybe this is like where you buy on Kovalchuk in hopes that Willie Mitchell or Willie Desjardins gets the boot sometime soon. But
I mean, he's 35 now. It's not like you're getting 27-year-old Ilya Kovalchuk when he was like a monster. Like he had like the Ovechkin shot almost like from the point. Like he was also a monster on the power play. Like he's not the same player anymore. So you're not getting those years for him. So if you're trading for him, like what are you really getting? I guess.
You're getting a power play specialist. Right? Like you're getting what Yager was in his last productive years, like in Florida, I think, at this point. And maybe someone who can last a little bit longer. But a guy that I think is still useful. I mean, he started the year off with 14 points in 14 games.
Yeah.
And for a guy like he was interviewed after the Edmonton game, which they lost. And then he was like he was staple to the bench for the last, 6 minutes of the game when they really needed a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've never been in this before. And one thing is that the Kings, when Kovalchuk is on the ice, are generating just over 50 shots per 60 minutes, even though he's not generating, he himself is only getting about two shots a game. So that just, it says that Kovalchuk is still an elite offensive mind.
That's true.
Another thing that I saw online was, go ahead.
Can I just quickly point out, you're making comparisons to Jágr. Jágr is 11 years older than Kovalchuk. let me just put that out there.
Oh my god.
They may be in the same category of old players,
but going there?
And Kovalchuk's only a year older than Dustin Brown, too. Like,
yeah.
He's not super old. He's no Jágr.
Yeah. Especially, it's weird, especially in a guy like Willie Mitchell, Willie Desjardins.
I did the same thing. Same thing.
Willie Desjardins, who values, quote-unquote, smart offensive players who can really, facilitate his breakout. You'd think that Kovalchuk's skill set would kind of cater towards that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I like that Willie Desjardins blamed... like this omnipotent power that benched Kovalchuk. He was like, yeah, it's hard for a guy when you're usually used to top line minutes and you're on the power play and then you get benched. It must be difficult. Like, I can't imagine what he's going through, like being in this position where he's on the bench and he's not playing. And it's like, well, you're the coach. Like, you tell us why he's in this position. And,
I can't imagine how you fix that. Darn, that's really difficult. I don't understand the situation.
Yeah, it must be hard.
If only he had someone in charge of his deployment that would help out, but we don't have any of those.
It's shocking.
It's ridiculous. It's
there was also another thing that I was reading in The Athletic, actually, and it was this interview with Ilya Kovalchuk kind of in like a media scrim after one of the games. And this reporter goes like, hey, is it hard to get in a scoring rhythm if you're not playing very much? Kovalchuk just goes like, I think he answered your question. Like, it's just, I don't know. Sometimes you get little tidbits like that from media scrims like that. But in terms of what LA can do, I mean, lots of people are talking about trading Tyler Toffoli, and you look at another team like Edmonton, who recently fired their coach and hired Ken Hitchcock. Kind of in a very, uninspired move, in my opinion. But
yeah.
Do you think, I'm looking online, there's some, Tyler Toffoli for maybe, one of their prospect type things, because Edmonton, of course, needs some scoring help. Just kind of looking on Cap Friendly's armchair GM, which is always a fun click to kind of see people's thoughts of how they should fix their team. But somebody posted a Tyler Toffoli for Kyler Yamamoto in a third round pick.
Isn't Yamamoto supposed to be like an elite prospect right now?
Why is he on the team then, Dylan?
Wasn't he in the? He played a first couple games
well,
at the beginning of the season.
He got sent down with Puljujärvi, didn't he? Wasn't that the same?
I don't know. I'm gonna be honest, I would love to see something like that happen. I don't think that Edmonton has the balls to make a trade like that, just because if it doesn't go right, Chiarelli's gone, right? They bring in Toffoli and they put him on the top line, and what happens? Like, he ends up playing on the second or the third line and it just doesn't work out, and then maybe they start blaming Connor McDavid. Maybe Connor McDavid's hard to play with. You got to trade him.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid, not a winner.
Trade him for Adam Larson again. Same kind of idea.
Yeah. I mean, and it's things like this where I look at it, and you see this a lot in the NFL right now, where you have your first round draft pick, like your star player who's still in their entry level contract under team controlled, cost controlled things. And I don't know. Then I look at what Edmonton's breakup is now, where they have this $12 million Connor McDavid, and then they have a $9 million Leon Draisaitl and stuff like that. And I hate to think, but I think they might have missed the boat on terms of building like an actual like contender. And which is why I think you look at moves like what Toronto did in this offseason was signing John Tavares. Like, that's the move you make while your stars are still in their ELCs. Yeah. Which is also why, kind of leads to my next point, why I really liked this Ryan Strome deal, which was Nick Schmaltz for Ryan Strome and Brandon Perlini.
Like Dylan Strome,
sorry. I think that's an awesome trade for really for both people because Arizona obviously has a ton of cap space, but also because I think those are two really good assets that can help a team like Chicago where their two star players are just eating up all this cap space, you know? What do you guys think of the deal?
I think that, yeah, getting a guy, like, I mean, Dylan Strome, former third overall pick, so this is the draft where they could have taken Marner and, like, Timo Meier. Like, that draft was loaded, by the way. I think that's a good buy-low proposition because he's still obviously a very talented guy. Like, even going down, I think he was point of game in the AHL last year was, I believe, off the top of my head. So he obviously has some offensive talent. He has good offensive talent, and you need guys like that. Like, you can get guys who, you know, can play third line checking minutes, third line PK. You can get those guys for, you know, off the waiver wire in free agency pretty easily. Yeah. But getting guys who are elite scorers has always been the most difficult thing in the league. So if you can get two guys, even Perlini's at, you know, a decent, he's probably obviously not as high a pedigree, obviously not probably as outwardly talented, but he definitely has produced in the short amount of time he's been up as well. So I think that is definitely a good low risk, high reward proposition for Chicago. Especially the guys like DeBrincat coming up as well. Like that, you know, they could be coming up in for a couple of years as well, like him and like Joka Harju and stuff.
The nice thing about this deal is now Chicago has like a nice little tidbit that they can actually go and make a run at Panarin or a Panarin type player afterwards.
I didn't they trade Panarin because was it just for cap reasons that they didn't
they couldn't afford to sign him, so they traded him. And because they thought Jonathan Toews would be happier with Brandon Saad, I think.
Right.
Also, I don't know if that's actually true, but that's what I heard. I don't know how much to put in that. But
Toews has always been known to like go out and ask for players or like say, like apparently he was really high on Andrew Shaw when Andrew Shaw was there. So I'm sure that in the future, Jonathan Toews will be a GM.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Panarin back in Chicago just because watching him play with Kane was like watching two Patrick Kanes play. They were amazing together. Like, it was so much fun to watch them, except when they were playing the Canucks. But, you know, when they were on the ice together, there was like literal magic. They also kind of had like the same haircut for a while there where they both had a little bit of the flow coming out the back.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to see to notice who was who.
Yeah. And specifically, just so I can make myself clear, it's not so much because I know Nick Schmaltz is still on his ELC. It was just the fact that now they have an additional year of an ELC, so that it kind of makes it a little bit easier to kind of space out contracts so you can actually say a big name UFA, which I think you need to do. Like, you have, realistically, how many more years of that Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane nucleus? Like, you have another 3-4 years where they can actually be competitive. So. Yeah. I don't know. I really like the move for Chicago. Arizona, I think Perlini and Strome kind of suffered from this whole shuffling of teammates. Really only Arizona's top line with Galchenyuk is really solidified as anything. From what I understand about their line combinations, they were all over the place. So in terms of fantasy advice, Strome is going to be the main beneficiary of this whole trade. He's going to be their second line center. He's going to get a ton of minutes. Lots of ample opportunity. He's already made an impact. He scored a goal and assist, I believe, in his first game. I think it was an 8-3 loss, but he did do some damage. So I really like this trade. I'd say if you're in a deep league or you're looking for somebody to kind of pick up or stream, I think Strom's a guy that you can look at. Perlini, we'll have to see what his role will be kind of going forward. But also, Strom gets to get reunited with his junior teammate in DeBrincat as well, which is nice.
Maybe it was DeBrincat that was asking for teammates. I need Strom. I need him.
If Taze gets sod, I want a Strom.
Do you see the thing where people are saying they should trade for McDavid as another former Erie Otter?
Oh, God. Just rename the team.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the Coyotes, how do we feel about Antti Raanta right now? Because as a Raanta owner,
as another Raanta owner,
should we commiserate together? This is incredible. He's back for a game. He gets lit up. He gets pulled, and then he's off again, and he's on the IR.
He's injured. I was so happy with that pick when I made it. I was like, oh, he's gonna do great. Like, he had great rate stats last year, and just.
I feel like Antti Raanta this year has become the what the Carolina Hurricanes as a team have been for the last couple of years. Like, the underlying numbers say that they're gonna be great, and he's gonna pull out of this. His save percentage is really high for the amount of games that he's been playing.
The Hurricanes of the West.
Yeah, except it's just Antti Raanta. Like, it's just him by himself.
And he was playing okay, like, up until like just before his injury. He was actually having a decent year, but yeah, the last three games. 5 goals against, 6 goals against, 3 goals against in 2 periods. So,
and you know that it's because he's injured. He's like, he's not playing at 100%. Yeah. So you're sitting there going, well, do I keep him on my, you know, do I keep him on my bench just in case?
I think in, like, our league is 14 teams. So there's, like 20 goals. I think in my case, at least I have to keep him. Like, there's not really any better option on the wire.
Right.
I think it depends on what your league, what your league depth is and what your league settings are. Like, if there's, I don't know if it's worth taking a risk on, like, say, like a David Rittich in Calgary, if he's still out there, like, he's been playing pretty well, but, you know, do you take that risk? Like, do you put that stock into, say, 10, 11 games that he's played this year? Calgary looks pretty good, but who knows?
They play better in front of them. They definitely play better in front of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but this is another, we're going to talk about a video on a podcast, but there was a GIF that somebody posted to the Fantasy Hockey Reddit, and it was the clip from South Park where I think it's Stan is going to the bank to, like, invest money, and the bank's like, oh, that's a really smart idea, great, but it's like, oh, you've picked up Antti Raanta, oh great, let's put him on your team, and he's on your team and he's injured. And Stan's like, what do you mean he's injured? Yep, I don't know what happened. It was a really good idea, but he's injured, so you don't have him anymore. You just can't play him. And it's the scene from the bank where they're like, and we've invested your money, and it's gone. Like, your money's gone. And then right at the end, it's like, this woman sits down, and she's like, hi, I'd like to invest in Tom Wilson. And he's like, great, really smart. And he's suspended.
Shut up. He's not going to get suspended. Screw you.
We'll talk about Tom Wilson in just a second. So, yeah, the Antti Raanta mystery, the man made of glass, I don't know. It's super frustrating. I just don't know what to do besides just commiserate about it.
Well, what's your play as you have him in our...
Well, I mean, I was dressing at one point. It was Raanta, Quick, and I don't even remember who my third goalie was. I had Talbot at one point. Did I not? I had Talbot at one point.
Who's not?
Who I dropped immediately. But what I have been looking at, and we've been talking about this since the beginning of the season, which is streaming players, like, when is it valuable to look at players that are going to give you a win in the week as opposed to players that are going to give you, like, long-term wins? And I think in goal, like, this year is a huge opportunity to look for those up-and-coming backups that are taking starting jobs. Derek, you just mentioned Rittich, the man who likes to take shots off the head. And he's essentially taken Mike Smith's job. If you look at, like, the starts over the last month, Mike Smith is not getting any. I mean, Mike Smith lost that job. He wasn't beaten. He literally just said, "Here you go, take it from me." But
Johnson's another guy in St. Louis who took over for Jake Allen.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Cam Talbot. So Koskinen has been getting starts too, right?
As soon as Ken Hitchcock started, he made it very clear that he does not have a number one goalie anymore. So Koskinen has been given the opportunity in the last, in the month of November, he's started, there's only 3 games that he didn't start and he's been getting progressively better. He hasn't posted a sub 900 save percentage only twice, and those were one of them was actually in a win against San Jose. So even last night, that was November 27th against Dallas, they went to a 0-0 tie in overtime, I think, and he got the shutout, for which I had him on my bench. So I didn't get those points. And another goalie is Louis Domingue in Tampa Bay, he didn't take the spot from
Vasilevsky.
Vasilevsky. Yeah. Vasilevsky's obviously injured right now, so Louis Domingue has definitely taken the number one spot that way. But if you track wins in your fantasy league, he is a great goalie to pick up, and he has been outstanding. He's let in, it's only been like two or three goals against for the last for the better half of the last 2 weeks. So if you have like another goalie that can maybe post some lower goals against average, it might be helpful. But his save percentage has been really great. 912, 930, 938, 943. And then he's basically won every single game except for two
in
the last 2 weeks. So look for Louis Domingue.
Even taking a look at some of the goalies available in Yahoo, these are guys who are 30% or less owned. For example,
Koskinen's 35 and Domingue is 59% owned.
Yeah, and I'm also surprised by people like Aaron Dell, very highly valued backup. Only 11%.
I may or may not own Martin Jones in a league.
Yeah, and he's only 11% owned in Yahoo leagues right now. So you look at that guy, like a guy like that, Anton Khudobin, another viable backup, especially since the Dallas Stars starter is injured as well, mm-hmm. Ben Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So. And James Reimer, another guy, just with him, with Luongo and his documented injury history in his advanced age.
Man, he just got hurt again.
Yeah. The rumor with Luongo is that, because I have him in a league, I'm like, oh, why is he on out and not on IR? But the rumor is that he is coming back this weekend. But, I mean, you look at those guys, and maybe we'll do some math after the episode, but... Even like just being able to the value of having that streaming slot that Dylan was talking about, just being able to like, okay, this guy's, you have him on your watch list. You're just like, okay, this is a guy that I know I'm just going to pick up and start whenever he is. Like a guy like UC Saros, only owned in, what was it? Yeah, 24% of leagues, that kind of thing. Someone like Linus Ullmark in Buffalo. Anytime he starts, he's been lights out. He had 35 saves last outing, 27. So I mean, Buffalo's buy anyone on Buffalo right now, but
take, one buy team high in the on league. Buffalo.
Yeah.
Fuck, I wish this year was last year. Okay, but ifs and buts.
But Buffalo's
whatever.
Doing the thing I'm saying. We were kind of touching on this earlier with the Connor McDavid thing. Buffalo's doing exactly what I think you should do when you have, they have Dolly now.
Bring in
Dolly's
Skinner,
on a 3-year cost controlled contract, and you can build something really exciting, right? They trade for Skinner. They trade away O'Reilly, but you can do a lot of really cool things. And, let's say,
haven't missed them, that's for sure.
Yeah. And let's just say, Kovalchuk becomes available. That's a team that can absorb that hit without being like, oh, we're really sacrificing a lot.
That's a real good point.
Because you're like first or second best player who's going to be playing a ton of minutes in the centerpiece of your team is making peanuts, So I don't know. That's what I think.
For sure.
Teams like, I mean, Toronto did it already, but that's why I think teams like Buffalo should be doing it as well. But another big contract news. This is the final week of Nylander Watch, guys. What do you guys think? I don't know what the Vegas odds are, but do we think he's going to sign, or are we going to say goodbye to William Nylander for this year?
I think that it's in Nylander's best interest to sign this year. I think if he wants to win, like every hockey player wants to win, he needs to sign in Toronto. He needs to play with Matthews. I mean, if they have Nylander, Matthews, And then they have Marner, Tavares. Like those two pairings are like, I'm very upset that Toronto is as good as they are this year. But I mean, it's incredible. Like, how can you pass up this opportunity to play with this team this year? Like, where is he going to go? Like, what team would he rather play for?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fergie just fainted. He was so thrown off by
your
hot takes.
Your take was so hot, he passed out.
Derek, what do you think?
I do want to say, like, all the people saying that he should be taking a pay cut so they can pay Marner, I think that's ridiculous because, firstly, why should he take the pay cut?
Why does Marner take the pay cut?
Exactly. Like, why does he have to, because he's going first, like, why should he take the pay cut? So that's the first thing I just want to point out. And definitely I agree. Like, I think it's, like, they're probably looking at, like, even, like, now doing a bridge at, like, $7 million. I think that's perfectly reasonable. I think...
How many years?
Like, I think they're looking at two or three.
$7 million,
which,
3 years.
Still be an RFA at that point? I think that doesn't buy out his... I don't think that buys out his RFA years. I don't remember how many years he would need to buy out his RFA status.
It's, what, 26 for 26 RFA?
26 or 27.
Something like that.
We can hopefully cut this lack of RFA knowledge out. We need to find this off air.
Fergie, go research that while we're talking about this.
Go research that. We'll just cut this whole thing out. Yeah, I think this is his best chance to come in and, like, he can be an impact player on that team with so many offensive weapons. Like, he will look so good playing with those guys. And I mean, like, if you miss a whole year, like, who's he gonna play? Like, what's he gonna do in that whole year? Like, his, you know, he can't train with the team, right? Like, he's not under contract.
No,
he has to train, like, in Sweden or wherever he decides to go. Like, you can't replicate that training, and especially, like, in his, like, he's 23. Sorry, how old is he? But, like, this is his prime development year. Like, this is, like, right in his prime right now. Like, this is like this and, like, let's say 2-3 years are the best he's gonna be. So, like, get in there, get me to do. But yeah, like, don't lowball yourself, my man. Don't settle for, like, $5 million.
Yeah,
maybe if he doesn't play this year, maybe he can go to Austria and play with that professional team that Nate Schmidt played with when he was suspended. He went to Austria and lived in the Alps, or I don't know where he was living, but he was like, it was such a calming experience.
Like,
for
the sound,
like,
of music.
Yeah, it's basically what he did for the 20 games that he was suspended, and tried not to eat any, like, drug-laced meats, I guess. So maybe Nylander can go out there.
So a couple things. So to be on RFA, you need to be 27 or 7 years, whatever comes sooner. William Nylander is 22. So
So we're taking
a
hit.
three-year deal would keep him as an RFA.
That's correct. And then another notable Swiss League player is my favorite is Jeff Tambellini. Do you guys remember him?
Yes.
He played in Zurich, and he had a couple of really good years, but he topped out with 45 points in 50 games. So he wasn't like the Mike Babcock of the British Hockey League.
Nah.
But that he played in Zurich after flaming out with the Canucks. So
Jeff Tambellini, best known for the incredible back check on that one.
Oh,
play
that's
that one time.
Forever,
the world's greatest back check on Martin Irat.
I watch that clip maybe once a month. It's one of my favorites.
No, you don't.
It's one of my favorites.
Just like, your inspirational poster? You just put, like, work hard, and then it's Jeff Tambellini doing a, like, back checking.
Yeah, it's more or less what I, like, especially when I played Ultimate Frisbee in university. Like, that's what I would draw inspiration from, was, like, if I'm ever, like, behind somebody, I'd be like, I'm Jeff Tambellini, and just, like, run as fast as I can. It's not a joke. That's exactly what would be through my head.
I don't.
That and Dan Hamhuis' hip check highlights.
You mean not the one where he, like, tears his abdomen apart and misses the entire Stanley Cup Finals, right?
Just the ones from when he was in Nashville.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Very specific.
The other thing is Ron Hextall also got demoted by the Philadelphia Flyers. And I was looking at...
demoted or fired?
Fired.
And so demoted to not a general manager.
Demoted to not
fan.
not having a job.
To not having a job. Which is funny because you look at career highlights of Ron Hextall, where he's like this crazy goalie that's fighting everyone. And you're like, and that guy will run a team. It's like, I don't know. But
well, the assistant coaches got fired as well today, so it's just Dave Hextall
and Ian LaPerriere. It's the other guy that didn't get it. Dave Hextall and Ian LaPerriere are the only guys left. But I was looking at a history of like people who GMs that were let go in the middle of the year, and Brian Burke is on a lot of these lists, a lot of these changes. Do you guys remember John Ferguson Jr.?
Yes. No. He was the
Randy
Raycroft trade.
The Raycroft trade, and he also did the Vesna Kotkaniemi deal. So yeah. he got fired and then mid-season, and then immediately Brian Burke, who was president of operations of Anaheim at the time, was like, oh, and Brian Burke wants to go back to Toronto. And then he told the Anaheim media, like, no, I'm going to stay here. And then a month later goes to Toronto. And then do you guys remember Jay Feaster of the Flames?
Which time?
Yeah.
So back when Feaster was GM, team president was Brian Burke, which is like has to be the most intimidating thing because you just know Brian Burke wants to run the team, right?
Yeah. How do you – yeah.
Like that would just be the most terrifying job to have. It's like – hey, you're going to be in this position, but there's this guy behind you that just wants your job, and he's also your boss.
He's also going to sweat and yell all over you.
Frothing at the mouth behind you.
And then also you have to tie his tie for him. but then he was fired by Brian Burke, and then Brian Burke named himself the GM.
That's such a power move, right? To fire someone and then just take their job.
Yeah. But my favorite one was Bobby Clark got let go by the 06-07 Philadelphia Flyers. He actually just resigned after 8 games and said to reporters, I no longer wanted to make the decisions general managers have to make. And then just left.
Aw.
which is hilarious, especially because, you know, that's like the franchise and face of the soul.
Disappointing.
Yeah. But
or a guy who just doesn't want to do the job anymore.
So we talked a lot about
our players.
So we talked a lot about Antti Raanta and Ilya Kovalchuk, guys that were given up, that were dropping in our leagues. Another guy that I'm going to probably drop is Corey Crawford. I have him in both our keeper league as well as our head-to-head league. And in his last 3 starts, he's given up 4 goals and 6 goals. For the fledgling Blackhawks. So especially as it kind of looks like the Blackhawks are kind of trying to do a new face and everything like that, I don't know. Is Cam Ward the guy to pick up in for the Blackhawks, or should I just be looking at the streaming category?
I think you just said the words Cam Ward, so I feel like that answers your question. Didn't you listen to the podcast last week with Carolina Hurricanes goalies?
That's true. That's a good point. That's true.
I feel like they have a very Vancouver situation right now. They've got Cam Ward and they've got Corey Crawford. Both are, well, I guess it's not a very Vancouver situation. They have 2 goalies that could and have been number one goalies that are playing like number 2 goalies. So it's like anyone's game or anyone's net. Like who's going to take it right now? I think maybe Cam Ward might take the net and run with it for a few games, but I think they're prime streaming candidates. I don't think you keep Corey Crawford as like your number one goalie on your team. That's for sure.
In your case, Fergie, I would look at even like Jimmy Howard. Like no one owns him in our league. That might not be. He's been playing actually pretty well for Detroit. He's their start. He looks like they're excuse me. He looks like he's their entrenched starter. So you'd be getting a few games that way at the very least, and he's playing pretty well.
It's true. I think Detroit kind of suffers from the Ottawa Senators disease of players are just overlooked because of their team.
Can I revisit what I just said? I just remembered that we're playing each other this year, this week.
Yeah.
So keep Corey Crawford on your team.
fair enough. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, Dylan, here. Detroit has a bunch of players that I think you should look at picking up. Andreas Anastasiou is another guy. Anastasiou.
Anastasiou.
Anastasiou? I don't actually know how to say it. Something like that.
It's Andreas Anastasiou.
Andreas Anastasiou.
You got it.
He's been playing pretty well in this year. He's owned in 26% of leagues, and he's sitting pretty with 15 points this season, 10 goals, 5 assists. Mike Green, since he's come back from injury, at 9 points in 11 games. So there's some value to be found on that Detroit Red Wings team.
Green's been really great the last couple of games. I picked him up earlier this week, and he's got he's been playing a lot of minutes. He's been averaging about 23 minutes a game.
Two assists tonight.
Yeah, two assists. He's got a couple of multi-point games in the last few weeks. They do have a big homestand coming up, so you know, six of their next 8 games are played at home.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're, you know, he's going to be comfortable sleeping in his own bed.
that's just
that
secret.
Does help your fantasy value. I don't know if you knew this.
Wait, hold on. If the only advantage of home ice is sleeping in your own bed, why don't teams just travel with
their beds?
With their beds. They should all get a Lisa subscription.
Hey, we don't have that sponsorship yet. Be quiet.
Good point.
Oh, that would be an amazing segue.
Next time, we do have that sponsorship.
another person who's kind of benefiting from their coaching changes, Mikko Koskinen. We were talking about him. He seemingly has taken over the starting job from Cam Talbot, as he should be. But also is Ryan Spooner has all of a sudden shot to the top line with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Much of the bewilderment, a popular tweet in Hockey Twitter this week was, what does Ryan Spooner do? So guys, with that said, what do you think Ryan Spooner's hobbies would be?
Well, he obviously whittles. he eats soup out of a bowl and with a spoon that he whittled, right?
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
But going to the stats a bit, there's 467 skaters right now with 200 plus 5-on-5 minutes, and only two of them are below 290th in the league. One of them is Cody Eakin, and the other is Ryan Spooner. So,
I mean, Spooner had a pretty good run last year. He was in Boston last year, right?
Yeah,
the Rangers. He played up and down the line. Oh, right. He was traded at the deadline, right? To the Rangers.
He was in the Rick Nash trade, I think.
Maybe I'm getting my years mixed up. Anyways, he's always been known to play up and down the line. So the fact that he's on their first line right now makes sense. I knew that like when Ken Hitchcock came in, he was going to shake things up. You knew that was going to happen. So we had, I'm always going to mispronounce this guy's name. Caligula, the Dracula guy. Yeah, Kajula. He was on the first line for the first two games that Hitchcock coached. He was on the first line, and then you didn't really do much. So now it's Spooner's turn. So
what happened to Ty Ratty? Did he get sent down?
Well, no. Ty Ratty played like 8 minutes in the last game that he played. He's just playing on their fourth line now. So it's an open tryout now for the first line. I mean, if they went out and got Toffoli, I think now that we talk about it, it's probably a pretty good move. Yeah. Just don't trade Ryan Spooner for it, though.
Just so the Edmonton Oilers are aware, I am available for GM, the GM job. I can send you my resume over whenever you want.
Your CV.
What experience do you have, Fergie?
I once recorded a 4-hour episode that was never released about how to fix the Edmonton Oilers.
And it never will be released.
Experience is you didn't trade for Adam Larson, so
I
have a leg up.
I did. What? How did? In our episode, Shea Weber somehow ended up on the Oilers, didn't he? I traded Leon. It was a Leon Draisaitl. Leon Draisaitl for Shea Weber.
It was a very big trade you made. Oh, you also didn't you also sign Ilya Kovalchuk for like $8 million a year?
That just turned into Steven trying to
every player in the league
to meta game the entire GMing, and then we figured out that everything he was doing was illegal. So Yeah,
effectively,
you can't just offer sheet anybody. Apparently,
yeah. Fun fact: you need the draft picks in order to offer sheet someone.
You need the draft picks. Yeah, you do. You do.
Pro tip.
Yeah, but the other player that kind of is making waves and people are so confused what to think is Tom Wilson. Guys, what do we think about Tom Wilson? Dylan, we were so wrong.
I know. I'm going to take this moment to eat my sock. Everything that I said about Tom Wilson coming back and not being an immediate impact, not getting the PIMS, not being a point producer, I will concede those facts. In his first game, he had, what, two minors, a major assist, and a goal?
Yeah,
and goal interference. Yeah,
and oh yeah,
the Tom Wilson hat trick.
What, he got a goddamn goal and goalie interference in the same play? How do you do that? Like,
the goal interference. But no, he's been amazing. Like, he's on a six game point streak, yeah. Four game goal streak.
He's at 120 point season pace. Is what's happening.
Yeah,
he's also almost murdered people already. Like, in that first game back, like, that when he ran the net, like, he didn't slow down at all. Like, he deserved the penalty. He probably shouldn't have gotten the goal. And about one play a game, he's definitely taking a run at someone. So I can't imagine that he won't be suspended again this year. That's how I'm going to, like, cover up for what I said earlier.
Rationalize it?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You're just mad because he dropped him and then didn't pick him up in time.
No, you're right, I didn't. But the reason that I said he won't have as many PIMS this year is because he will spend the rest of the season in the box. Like, and I mean the press box. Not the penalty box, yeah. It'll be a penalty box. I mean, press box in minutes. Nah, that didn't work. Never mind.
Do you want it? It would stand a reason that there's a couple reasons why Tom Wilson is doing so well right now. One, Kuznetsov and Oshie are both injured, so he's getting lots of first unit power play time, and just really just a lot of time in general. He's averaging just over 20 minutes a game, so that's really good. And plus, he's playing on the top line with Ovechkin and Backstrom, which is, you know, gonna get you lots of. Oh, sorry, with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin, so that's gonna kind of get you a lot of points at anyways, right?
I feel like Ovechkin just loves playing with Tom Wilson.
I know, right? Like
they just look like I was gonna say Bang Brothers, but that's not what they were called.
The Bash Brothers.
Like, the Bash Brothers.
Mighty Ducks reference.
Bang Brothers is something completely different.
I don't know
if you listen
to that.
Hold on, if you listen to Spitting Chicklets,
they
you
call
to Spitting Chicklets, you might hear that Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson might have had some sort of career with the Bang Brothers.
God. Is that what they call him? Tom the Bus Wilson. Let's do it.
No, God. There it is. Yeah, his new nickname.
The Bus.
He really drives the bus, doesn't he?
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny because there is somebody employed just to drive that bus, that van around. And it could just be a celebrity but they would, no one would ever know.
I'm glad you think that's hilarious.
I don't know why it's so funny.
Yeah, so everything we said about Tom Wilson was wrong. Ovechkin and Tom Wilson are the Bash Brothers, not the Bang Brothers. Okay. I think this might be where we pack it in for the night.
Remember, this was a G-rated podcast?
It still says clean lyrics in iTunes, so...
Nobody promised that.
I was just going to say,
until somebody tells us we're not.
The only thing that also maybe is Tom Wilson has the highest shooting percentage of active players in the NHL right now. So another reason why his shooting percentage might come down.
Yeah, he's gonna get less excited and might deflate a little bit.
Yeah, I guess you want to talk regression.
do you have any medication for that?
No, well,
for regression,
not that kind of, it goes the other way around. But no, speaking of Shaw percentage regressing, Patrick Laine had an amazing week last week. If you had him,
God.
Regression,
congratulations
the
on
other
your
way.
Win. Yeah,
Derek, who are you employed by?
So I work for Safeway. So I don't know if we have any American listeners. Safeway basically has a promotion for most Canadian game Canadian NHL team games. If one player scores 5 goals in a game, Safeway will give that person $1 million. So
it hasn't ever happened in Canada. I mean, it's happened twice in the United States since the contest is on, but it's never happened in Canada until
It's like Franzen and Gabrick last like 20 years or something like that. So it's not a super common occurrence. So usually we don't pay out. But yeah, Patrick Laine last Saturday against St. Louis. Yeah, 5 goals. Actually, 5 goals in the first like almost just first half of the game. So he had a legitimate chance to get 6 or 7, to be fully honest.
He almost double hat-tricked.
Yeah, so we are paying someone in Winnipeg $50,000 a year for 20 years. And I guess I'll make the point now. So Dylan and I were joking about it. He messages me right away. He's like, do you all lose a vacation day to pay for to pay this guy's $1 million? And so I have a group chat with some of my other pharmacists. So I posted a joke like, oh, we're all getting our pay cut. And 4 of them believed me that the pharmacists were getting their pay cut to pay for this sweepstakes winner.
But, Derek, just this week, you got an extra bit of money taken off your paycheck. Did you not? And it was in the guise of a tax adjustment.
I was told it was a tax adjustment. Now, I can't prove anything. I was told it was a tax adjustment.
I'm telling you. The tax adjustment was the Patrick Laine tax. That's what it was.
$300 Rip.
I just want to say in his last game last night, Laine had no goals, no assists, and he was a -1. So I don't think he's going to score much in the future, and all Patrick Laine owners should drop him right now.
Oh, yeah. You got to sell high on him right now.
Sell high. It's not going to continue. Look, he's only got 3 assists. What kind of guy is he, right?
Selfish.
Selfish. He's a selfish, selfish guy who scores 5 goals in a game. He could have made 5 passes, is what I think.
It's only because he's European, though, right, guys?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. No, I thought I was going to say something there, but I didn't.
The only guy that I would want to point out kind of like in a deeper league type pickup is on LA is Matt Luff, who kind of caught Willie Desjardins' eye, is now skating with Jeff Carter and Tyler Toffoli. So right now he's on a 4-game goal streak. So I think that might be an interesting option if you're kind of starving for some goals in that category. But
Interesting.
But I don't really have any more fantasy advice. It's kind of all been.
Oh,
yeah, good.
There's one more thing. Yes. There's one more thing. Yahoo's recently updated their desktop. I was going to say app. God, it's a fucking website. It's just called
it's
a website. The other day I asked, I told someone at work that they could voice chat me. And I was like, I mean, phone call. Like, it's just a phone call. They looked at me like I was from another planet. And I was like, why did I say voice chat? I meant pick up the phone and call me. Anyways, Yahoo updated their website on the matchup screen. It now shows you games played by your team and games remaining, which is really helpful. We were talking about trying to find players that are playing more in a week to add value to the players that you're streaming. More opportunities for points. So this will really help. And it'll also tell you how bad you actually were or how good you actually were, because it'll give you kind of an idea of how many points you scored within the games that you played. Especially in a points league, I was looking back and I was trying to make excuses for my terrible performance. I was like, oh, I probably played less games. No, I was like playing the exact amount of games as my opponent every single week. So like I said, it'll tell you that you're either doing well for the amount of games that you're playing in a week, or you'll have no excuses and you're actually just shit.
All right.
But I wish that they would update this on the app. And one thing it doesn't do is tell you how many goalie games you've played.
You still have to scroll down to
the bottom for that.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah. Derek, as we before we send off, do you have anything to plug?
I need to start, apparently, GoFundMe to pay for... my sweepstakes losses. So
for your Patrick Laine losses.
For my Patrick Laine payment, apparently.
All right. And So that kind of concludes another episode of the Winter's Coming Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Dylan, where can the fans find us?
You can find us on Twitter, at St. Louis Shoes. You can find us on the Apple Podcast app. You can find us in Stitcher. We're actually on Spotify now, which is great. You can find us on Spotify. We're on something called Deezer. I don't really know what Deezer is. We're also on Google Play and everything else. Fergie has now lost connection. He's texting me. This is how we're going to end the podcast now.
An oral history.
And
of
if you guys like the podcast, make sure to tell your friends and retweet us on Twitter. Share it out there. We have a catchphrase now. Even a shopping cart could score 20 goals with Sidney Crosby. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
Bye.
Oh, goodbye, Derek.
I'm still here.
Fergie, you're still here.
I know. My headphones got unplugged.
Oh, my God.